on the air, everywhere. This is Metro South Podcasting.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here
on the South Shore of Massachusetts. Have you noticed I can't sing?
As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
I can't sing. I can't dance. I can't sing. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hi, bye. Hey. How you doing? Good to be with you. Yeah, this is being recorded and released for your satisfaction. Satisfaction. That's really stupid. Let's start again. Satisfaction. There's no such thing as satisfaction. It's my own word. Satisfaction. Start again.
On the air, everywhere, this is Metro South Podcasting.
Satisfaction. Give me a break.
Welcome to The Big Show with Ron Van Dam. Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us and how it affects us here on the South Shore of Massachusetts. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
See if I can get it right this time. Satisfaction. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Hey. Welcome to the program. Good to have you here on this Friday, and welcome, and it is my pleasure to be with you, satisfactionless. Hey, we're recording this on whatever, this is Friday, November 21st, whatever, pleasure to be with you. Good. Glad my breathing sounds good. I was reading an article yesterday. Ooh, Ron, you actually read articles? That's incredible. I've never heard you say that before. Yes, I did. Apparently, vitamin D. You know, you impart this medical information. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a gynecologist. I'm not a proctologist. I don't build bridges. I don't drill out tunnels. I don't make candles. I don't slice deli meats. I don't wear pants. So don't blame me and don't listen to me. However, vitamin D is very important, especially during the winter, because we have a lack of vitamin D because we don't spend much time out in the sun. And the sun gives you vitamin D. It also gives you skin cancer. So, you know, you balance the two. I take a vitamin D supplement. They're a little gel thing, the little gel tablet thing, pop in your mouth things, and you know, take it with water and stuff. And I go down Essence Mood because they're the gel cap things. And I pop these babies in the morning, the vitamin D, and supposedly it makes you more, oh, how can I put it tastefully? Bada boosh boom. It gives you more sexual feelings. It doesn't, not that, but it gives you more, it makes you more open to the sexual world of Suzy Wong, whatever. So it's good for you that way. It also is a very important vitamin to keep your heart healthy and your blood flowing. It's good for circulation. And they say that a lack of vitamin D, especially in the winter, can lead to a shorter life than if you did the vitamin D thing. So, I mean, just look into it. I'm not a doctor, as I said. Don't do anything. God, I'm not Dr. Oz, man. I'm not that whore. I'm just a guy with a podcast telling you what I've read. That's all I'm doing. Do what you want to do. I mean, you know, Dr. Oz. Dr. Oz. I don't like him. He's a whore. Can I say that? Yeah, I can. I just did. He's a whore. He claims he takes no money from any of these pharmaceutical wonders or organic supplements that he talks about, or eat a lot of black beans, whatever, and then the bean industry goes crazy and black beans go flying off the shelf, you know, just like Oprah kind of thing. My favorite things. Oprah used to do that when she had a TV show, when anybody knew who she was. Oprah had a show she'd do every once in a while around Christmas, My Favorite Things, and she would show products that she likes, that Oprah, the queen likes. And then this product would be flying off the shelves all over the country, and it was, if they just mentioned your product in Oprah's Favorite Things segment, you'd be a billionaire. And it was true. It actually worked. It was like Oprah's stupid freaking book club. You know, yesterday I... That's my impression of Oprah. Yesterday. It's pretty cool, huh? It's like spot on, isn't it? Yesterday I read the Howlings of North Dakota, a wonderful book. And like within like 3 hours, you couldn't get the Howlings of North Dakota anywhere. It was flying off the shelf, and it was had to go into like 7 publications, and was on a New York Times bestseller list, which is really Oprah's bestseller list. Same thing. It was just crazy. But that's the influence, and Dr. Oz is the medical Oprah, so to speak, the medical Oprah whore. And he claims he gets no money for mentioning these products or these things, claims he gets nothing at all. And I'm just, I can't believe that. I'm just not, because the way he hawks it on the show, if you take this, you will become a saint. You know, you're, do you have arthritis? Oh, you have to start eating whipped cream. Whipped cream, son, arthritis. It doesn't. I'm just making an example. Well, wouldn't it be great if whipped cream resolved your arthritis problems? Oh my God. That'd be nice. That'd be all right. Be an excuse to have whipped cream. Anyway, I don't even know what the hell I'm talking about. I don't even know what I was talking about. Oh, the vitamin D. So don't listen to me because I'm not Dr. Oz. That's what that was all about. Now I remember. But I, as a individual of the United States of America, I take vitamin D. And I think it's helping me. I don't know. I mean, I could kick tomorrow. I have no idea. I'm just saying. But you know what it is, kids? And I've said this so many times before. What haven't I said so many times before? When you do a podcast for like, I've been doing for 8 months now, something like that. 6 months, whatever. And then you do radio like for decades before that. You've said everything already. You said everything. It's like you say to your wife, I love you, dear. Now, you already said that last week. You said that like 18 years ago. You said that. Come up with something new, will you? I love you. I've heard that before. How about something like, I've raised the amount on my life insurance policy. That's what they want to hear. I love you. You said that already. Said that. At least say it in a different language. Say it like in Croatian or something. Put a twist on it, man. I don't know. Get some romance in your pants. Anyway, that's what I do. I mean, Anyway, today we're going to speak to some people. Today's program, by the way, is being sponsored. Really? Seriously, Ron? Are you serious about that? Yeah. Theraflu is sponsoring our program today. Thank you to that company. Every once in a while, we will be sponsored by things and people, and it helps us along cash flow-wise, and I appreciate that. So, obviously, we'll be talking about the flu today. Yeah. Which is important. Did you get your flu shot? Raise your hand if you got your flu shot. I can't see you. Don't even bother. What a stupid thing you just did by putting your hand in the air. I can't see you. I'm not Comcast with cameras and cable boxes and stuff like that. You know, it's not, I can't do that. I can't, like, hack into your laptop and you know, through your camera there, your webcam. I can't see you undressing, lady. Last night with the pink negligee, the way you took it down and you exposed one breast and then the other. I can't see that. Then you went into the other room and you got a glass of wine. I think you had like about three glasses of wine, if I recall. I can't see that. I can't see that hair coming out of your mole, lady who lives at 672 North Main Street in Billerica. I can't see that. I can't hack. I don't know how to hack. I'm not a hack. I don't know how to hack. Seriously, what do you think I am? So did you have your flu shot? I mean, it's real. I don't see any reason not to have it. I know a lot of people who say, I don't get flu shots. I don't know. I don't get flu shots because I get sick. You can get sick getting the flu. And I don't like to be pricked. I don't like that. I don't like that little prick in my arm. You know what I'm saying? I don't like the little pinch. I used to hate injections when I was a kid. I hated it. I just wouldn't do crack. I mean, seriously, I would not do injections at all. I wouldn't have any shots or anything like that. No, as a doctor would give me a shot, I'd go, oh, no, I'm out of here. Mommy. And now, like, when I get a shot, like a flu shot or something, it's like, I didn't even, did you give it to me yet? I don't know. I've built some intolerance. I don't know. Maybe my arms got thicker. I have no idea. I've lost the nerve endings in my arm, something like that. But it doesn't hurt. And hell, you know, I haven't had the flu. Oh, now I'm going to get it. Okay, fine. Now I'm going to get it because I said I haven't had the flu in a long time. But, you know, I said this before also. I'm going to cut a CD or something, and it's going to be called I've Said This Before because that's the story of my life. I've said everything before. I've connected every possible word into sentences, used every adjective to describe them. I've said it all before. When you do this and you just talk every day, you've said it all before. It's just it's not recorded like mine is. Anyway, I don't even know what I've said before, to be honest with you. All right, never mind. All right, so get your flu shot, damn it. The poor people in Buffalo, New York. Hamburg, New York. Sounds tasty, but not really. Hamburg, New York is just south of Buffalo. They have been slammed by snow, man. Dude, about 6 feet of snow. That's bigger than most of you are. And 6 feet of snow is going to hit me right in the eyes, pretty much. That's about where 6 feet would be on me. Maybe my nose or something. I wouldn't be able to breathe too well. My God, huh? Maybe my mouth would clear because I'm tall, but you would die. You'd be dead. And people have died, and guess why? Not because they're buried in snow, but because they were shoveling. It's a lot of snow to shovel, and once you get into it, you got to get that snow off that driveway and stuff and off the car, and they die from overexertion because shoveling snow is like extreme cardio. It's like a lot on your heart, especially if you're not used to it. I'm not used to doing anything. I'm really, when I go to a bar and have a drink, I have to reteach my elbow to move in an upward fashion. I just, I should be drinking alcohol through a straw, seriously, because I'm just really physically not able to lift. It's just, I don't do anything. I do nothing at all. My mouth moves well. I can walk and stuff, but I am running to something. Where am I going? Why would I run somewhere? Why at my age of 22? Why? Oh, just skip over that, huh? Why would I run anywhere? What would be my rush in getting any place? I don't know. I don't think, even if a scantily clad woman were on the other side of the room and said, I will have wild and passionate sex with you, if you can get here within 3 seconds, I still wouldn't run. I'd love to do the sex thing, but to be honest with you, I'm not going to run over there. See, that's what I'm talking about. So seriously, people are 10 people. Not all of them died of shoveling heart attacks, but the higher percentage did. Be very, very careful because it's going to snow here sometime wherever you are. Unless you're listening to this show in like Bolivia or something. How many listeners we have in Bolivia? I really didn't look. Probably not going to be shoveling a lot of snow down there, but I'm just saying, just be damn careful. Damn careful. I'm just longing for the days that when it snowed out, kids would come out of their house, like junior high school kids and high school kids, and they come knocking at your door while it was still snowing sometimes and say, "Hey, Mr. Van Dam, would you like me to shovel your driveway? I'll do it for $10. $10, you schmuck? Yeah, go on. Hey, here's a gift. Shovel out all my neighbors for $10. Seriously, man, what are you stupid? It's like selling lemonade for 5 cents, man. You can't make a profit on that. No, I'll pay him whatever it takes to shovel for me, obviously. But the kids don't do that. You see, it'd be good exercise for them. They're not gonna. You don't see kids dropping from heart attacks shoveling snow or doing cardio. You just don't see it. You know, "Oh, Bobby, did you hear about Bobby? No, what happened? Oh yeah, I was like 16 years old and shoveling a driveway, died of a heart attack. Oh no. Oh, yeah. But he was on the older side of 16, you know what I'm saying? He's almost going to be 17. Oh, okay, that's better. That's a long life. Anyway, I actually lived in Rochester, New York, decades and decades and decades ago. I lived there for a year and three quarters, and that was like a year and three quarters too much. Rochester is a beautiful place. It was the time where Kodak ruled Rochester, New York. Kodak was like the major employee. Everybody who lived in Rochester, New York either worked for Kodak or knew somebody worked for Kodak or had fucked somebody who worked at Kodak. And I was the third one. And I'm kidding, I wasn't. Because she said if you ran across the room, and I said no. I lived a year and three quarters. And in the winter, when it snowed, it was horrible. But in the summer, the temperatures would be maybe 70, 75, maybe 80 on a really hot day. And it was just beautiful in the summer. But you paid through the nose in the winter. We averaged about 80 inches to 100 inches of snow every year. And then some. And snow removal in the streets, they got it down to a science. But I still had to shovel my driveway. But I was young, and I was able to do that, and to me, it was a conquest at that point. I wouldn't do that now. I wouldn't. No, I just would not, no matter how much vitamin D I took. But just be damn careful, kids, because it's cold out today. This podcast episode is being done on Friday, November 21st. It's only going to be about 35 degrees out today, like tops. That's cold. But then temperatures, like on Monday of next week, just before Thanksgiving, we're talking temperatures in the 60s, so it's like, I don't know what the hell's going on. That's climate change, baby. Just be careful, because it's going to snow someday, and I think we're going to have a rough winter. I don't really know. Nobody knows. I don't know any farmers who write farmer's almanacs. Any farmer that writes the farmer's almanac should be out, like, picking cotton or whatever the hell you people do. Smashing Pumpkins, which is a good name for a group if anybody wants to use that. What do you do? What do you pick turnips? You milk the chickens? I have no idea what the fuck you do. Have you had your flu shot, ladies and gentlemen of the jury? I ask you, have you had your flu shot? Very, very important. The good people from Theraflu, let's talk to them. Let's raise them on the rickety phone line here. Let's crank up the rickety phone line. Sarah, can you connect me to the people at Theraflu, please, Sarah? Good morning to Dr. Andrew Eisenberg. How are you today?
Fantastic. Thank you, Ron, and how are you?
I'm great. What part of the country are you in?
I am currently in Port Charlotte, Florida.
Oh, nice. That's not so bad. That's not so bad.
Oh, it's great.
Yeah. I'm in New England, and it's raining, and it's cold. Anyway, you're with you've been working with Families Fighting Flu, which is a nonprofit national organization. You're helping families stay healthy, which is always a good thing. And you're kind of addressing the very thing that nobody really ever talks about, and that is if someone does get sick in your family, like with the flu or something else, what do you do? Because I always catch it anyway, and I'm figuring, like, is there a possibility that I can keep them healthy and keep me healthy as well?
Absolutely. There's several things that can be done, and hopefully you've already done the most important, which is getting vaccinated every year as soon as it's available, because that provides at least a large amount of protection, although not 100%.
Right.
And the other important thing would be that influenza typically is kind of hits you insidious, hits you right off with fever, chills, achiness, and pretty sudden. So it's very different from just the common cold. So there's a lot of misconception about what influenza actually is and is not.
Okay.
It can be quite a deadly disease, and up to 20% of people across the country every year actually do probably get influenza.
Yep.
And part of that problem is that not everybody gets all that sick, and they can still transmit disease.
Yeah.
So there's a number of things that are out there that we're working on trying to prevent from spread and to educate the public with families fighting flu. And this year we've teamed with the makers of Theraflu with the Fluprint program. And that's basically to go over all of the necessities like you've described from what happens once you get your flu shot if you actually do get infected.
Yep.
So washing your hands frequently, particularly if you've been out in public, because flu is a respiratory virus and is spread very easily when people cough and sneeze.
Yeah.
So all the surfaces that we touch and then inadvertently touch our hands or our nose, we can spread infection. Certainly avoiding people that are sick, not shaking hands a lot if you think you are, if you've been coughing or sneezing, and actually just trying to keep yourself at home if you have any potential risks of spreading an infectious disease. There's also a tremendous amount of, you know, over-the-counter medications and potentially prescription medications that can help you through your flu illness if you do get it, and those are available through the Theraflu website or the Facebook page.
Okay.
And this year, Families Fighting Flu has teamed up with them, and they're going to actually donate a dollar up to $100,000 for each like on Facebook so that we can continue with our educational program and try to steer people to the right places to get those resources.
Okay. What is the gestation period for the flu?
Good question. It's a little different for children and adults.
Mm-hmm.
Typically, you can be exposed, and it can be anywhere from about 3 or 4 days to 6 or 7.
Okay.
The problem is that a lot of people do shed virus before they actually have symptoms.
Yeah.
So that's part of why it's so important to get vaccinated.
So this kind of really, there's no question about that in my mind. And by the way, the biggest excuse I hear for it is that I'm allergic to it and I'm allergic to eggs and all that kind of stuff. But I understand now that there are varieties of the flu vaccine which don't include eggs.
That is correct. There's a cell-based technology that doesn't use eggs at all. And there's actually been some new data that that came out showing that even people with whole egg allergies, like if they eat any egg products, really don't have the anticipated reactions that people would complain of before.
Yeah, what about
part of the misconception?
Let me interrupt you. Speaking of misconceptions, is that if you get the vaccine, then that's actually being introduced into your body?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, there's several avenues for vaccination. There is a nasal spray, and there's an intramuscular injection.
Yes.
And the purpose of vaccines is to expose your body to a non-virulent component or a whole cell so that you make antibodies to be able to fight off infection when you're exposed to the wild type or the natural occurring infection in the community.
Okay.
So oftentimes having a response is actually a good sign because that means your immune system is actually gearing up and making antibody to prevent that real infection later on.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that can be associated with some of the aches and pains that people do complain of. However, they're usually very short-lived, relatively minor, can be treated easily, you know, with just Tylenol or, you know, an over-the-counter product, and certainly are not infectious. They're far less a cause of discomfort and disease than obviously getting the infection itself.
Okay. So if someone in your family has the germ or the virus, but it hasn't come out yet, like it's 3-4 days before it's obvious they have it, then you're going to get the flu anyway, so why not vaccinate yourself against it? Because there's no way to stop. I mean, you can't live in a bubble.
That's correct, and the virus is spread through respiratory droplets, and if you go out into the community, you touch doors, you touch handles, you pick up products in the supermarket,
of course.
You're potentially exposed to infection at any time.
Yeah, so what if someone in my family, actually, or one of my kids, or a spouse, or my mistress, what if they get the flu? I'm pretty much saying to myself, I'm getting this thing, because I usually get what they get because I'm in the house with them.
Well, not necessarily. Right. So influenza is different than a lot of other respiratory viruses. We don't have vaccines for rhinovirus and coronavirus and adenovirus. So, just good hygiene and the steps that you can follow through the FluPrint program will help preclude some of those illnesses. You know, washing your hands often.
Right.
Certainly, if you're sick, don't shake people's hands. Try to stay away from the public. Things like, looking at cell phones, passing things around is another modern-day conveyance of infection.
Okay.
Sleeping well, getting plenty of rest. So there's lots of things that you can do to try to prevent it. You're not, certainly, if you've been vaccinated, which, by the way, takes about 2 weeks for it to really be effective.
Yeah.
So influenza vaccine's not immediate as far as protection. But your risk of getting infection is much less after being vaccinated, depending on age group and its efficacy in the match that year. So there's some other variables, but in general, it's by far the best way to help prevent infection.
See, I tell you what frightens me is somebody has the flu, goes to a doctor because they have the flu and they have a temperature and all that, so they got to see the doctor, and they're sitting in the same waiting room as I am, and I'm just going because my elbow is sore. That scares me. There should be a separate place where flu people go.
That's a great point that you bring up. I would expand in one direction by saying all those people out there in the community that you don't know are sick, that may be spreading virus, they're probably a higher risk than going to a place where you know they might be. But on the other hand, if you've got a good relationship with your physician and you have the symptoms of influenza, there are things that, again, if you know your doctor well, they may just call in a medication that can potentially help limit the spread. But the general, again, staying home, not going back to work, sleeping well, not smoking, et cetera, are the things you really got to do to try to help prevent infection.
Okay.
You can't see viruses, so they're out there everywhere, and you're exposed to every place you go.
Okay, so get a flu shot if you haven't gotten it. My God, there's just no reason not to. And I think people should be arrested. Parents should be arrested if they don't get their kids the flu shot. And they say, "No, my kid's not getting that." I think that's abuse, seriously. But that's a whole nother subject. I mean, you have to put you have to put a seatbelt on your kid if they're in the car. So like, how is it not possible that you don't have to get an inoculation for your kid for the obvious flu? It just doesn't make sense to me. The website to visit once again for more information.
Certainly. This is the FluPrint program. You can find it at the Families Fighting Flu or the TheraFlu Facebook page. If you like the TheraFlu Facebook page, they will donate up to $100,000 to Families Fighting Flu so that we can continue to improve our outreach program and educate and provide resources and referrals to people to find out where to get a flu shot if you haven't, and to dispel some of those myths that they might have about getting sick from it and it causes problems, et cetera.
Right. Well, that sounds like a win-win, and I like win-win things. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's a pleasure speaking to you, Dr. Andrew Eisenberg. Thanks a lot.
Thanks to Metro South Podcasting, now you can get your Ron Van Dam anytime you want, as much Ron Van Dam as you want, any way you like to take your Ron Van Dam. Wow, this is getting really uncomfortable for me to read. Ron, did you write this way on purpose? Did you even read this out loud to yourself to see how it sounds? Yeah, actually, you probably did. Okay, it's the Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Just go with it.
Nothing to do and nobody to see. abet me. Then you come waltzing in, looking like you're expecting me to entertain. But I'm sorry, I'm in no hurry. Fantasy, I'm not your fantasy.
That's Carmen and Camille from Canada.
I'm not your fantasy. I am.
Thank you, girls. Nice girls, huh? Maybe I'd run for that. No, probably not. Welcome back to the program, Ron Van Dam Show. Thank you so much for joining me at the hip. You're wonderful people, really. It's not what I say behind your back, but otherwise, yeah. I don't know if you know this or not, but this version of the Metro South podcast and Ron Van Dam Show is free. However, I must warn you that in order to listen to this show, you have to check off, Anton Chekhov, a list of disclaimers. It's called firmware, and I'm wearing something firm right now. I got to tell you right now, there are disclaimers involved. I am obligated to play this every month. I have to show you where the exits are in case of emergency, that kind of thing. So please listen very, very carefully.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host.
Yes, I am.
Do not attempt to try this at home. Some listeners may experience nausea or vomiting while listening to this show. Please consult with your doctor or psychologist before listening to this program. The Ron Van Dam Show is not intended for listeners who have had a history of high blood pressure or acid reflux. Women who are pregnant should stay at least 20 feet away from the radio speaker and should avoid listening to the show for more than 2 hours at any one time. The Ron Van Dam t-shirts should never be worn in conjunction with the Ron Van Dam pants, unless it is after Memorial Day or before Labor Day.
No, don't.
But even then,
seriously,
please refrain from loud conversation, as this may be disruptive to others nearby who are trying to listen to this program. Your enjoyment of the program may vary. It may vary greatly. Please enjoy the show.
If you would, please, enjoy the show. That's the hardest part of all of that, is to actually enjoy the show. So please be very, very careful and do enjoy the show. Okay, thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your Cosby moment. We play this every once in a while. This is Bill Cosby explaining the situation that we all know about. Bill Cosby.
I mean, that is humanity. That's something, a common human experience is what I hope that people will feel. I want them to feel something when they look at every single piece. Not just think about it, but feel it.
And the way things are juxtaposed will certainly give that, as opposed to your usual museum setups.
This question gives me no pleasure, Mr. Cosby, but there have been serious allegations raised about you in recent days. You're shaking your head no. I'm in the news business. I have to ask the question. Do you have any response to those charges? Shaking your head no. There are people who love you who might like to hear from you about this. I want to give you the chance. All right. Camille and Bill Cosby, they have lent 62 pieces from their collection of African and African-American artists to create an exhibit called Conversations, African and African-American Artworks in Dialogue. It's now on display at the Smithsonian National Museum of African Art through early 2016. Thank you both.
Thank
for
you.
Joining us.
Thank you.
Yeah. Cosby's probably saying to himself, yeah, thanks a lot. I thought I was here to talk about my artwork, my art pieces, not the other pieces of art that apparently people are talking about here. Thanks a lot. As I've said, Ron, stop saying as I've said. It's really getting annoying. Mr. Cosby needs to address the nation as if the nation cares about it. And apparently they do. We latch on to these stories, you know. They're just like something to sink your teeth into. Rape is certainly a horrible thing. And when a celebrity is accused of it on a serial basis, it gets pretty heavy. But it happened a long time ago, allegedly. It happened a long time ago. And I think Mr. Cosby can, even if he admits to it, can repair his reputation. He's that large of a comedian, not size-wise, but fame-wise, to overcome it if he's honest. There'll be those that will always hate him for what he allegedly did, but there'll be others who say, it was a long time ago, he made a gigantic mistake, he owned up to it, let's move on, as horrible as it was. Maybe pay some retribution to the women involved. To them, he'll always be an ogre and a horrible person, but to others, he'll be that iconic comedian. So, but he's losing time in the reparation thing. The longer he goes without saying anything and will not even qualify the words, then it gets worse and worse and worse. Another person came out yesterday. I'm not talking about the closet. Another person claims that she was physically accosted by Mr. Cosby in a date rape kind of situation. Remember through this whole thing that Mr. Cosby was a newlywed. He had just married his wife, Camille, whose voice you heard there in that interview with NPR Radio that took place about a week ago. But, you know, the wives always stand by their men, unless it's like your wife. If you allegedly did something like that and your wife found out about it, she'd leave you and take everything you have. But somehow when you're a celebrity wife or a politician's wife, you stand by your man. I don't quite get the difference, but it's happened. I mean, look what Hillary Clinton, I mean, Bill Clinton, I think he never admitted to it, but there was no question, and he knows. It's like a wink, wink. And she never left, and she's running for president. I mean, there's the integrity of a woman who didn't really stand up for herself and just put up with that bullshit from her husband, saying, oh, he's got a horrible affliction, a horrible problem, and I'm going to stick with him. And, you know, she's running for president. Is that a quality? Is it a not quality? Would you prefer that she just packed up and left the White House? Wouldn't that be weird? You're looking at a picture of the White House and you're seeing the First Lady throw her husband's clothes out the second story window. And you'd say to yourself, man, it's like any other house. It's real. This stuff isn't real, ladies and gentlemen. This stuff isn't real. Did Jackie Kennedy know about her husband having affairs with Marilyn Monroe? Is it questionable that he did? I don't think it is anymore. She lived with that. Of course, she didn't have to yell at him too much at that point because he was assassinated. As a matter of fact, on Monday, we were having a special interview with a woman, a best-selling author who wrote a book about Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis, but focusing on the trauma that she went through. And I'm sorry to say this, but having your husband's brains and blood all over your lap, which is really what happens, his brains were blown out all over her. I mean, we never think about what she went through on that day. I mean, we know about it. We've seen it over and over again. But we've never really psychologically looked at the trauma that probably followed her through the rest of her life. I mean, if you see a horrible thing, you like remember it for a long time, but your husband's brains all over your clothes, how did that affect her in her entire life? It did, and people never talk about it, but we're going to talk about it with this author who's written a book specifically about that phase of her life. That's on Monday. That should be fascinating. I'll be listening because I do the show. I kind of have to listen to it. Not that I have to do anything. Just saying, man. That's pretty heavy. That's heavy stuff. All right. We're going to do another interview now. The holidays are upon us. Thanksgiving is coming. And people get stressed out. And, you know, rather than talk about all the food you prepare for Thanksgiving and all that kind of stuff, let's talk about what you mentally go through, the stress that you go through for the holidays. Holidays are supposed to be the real happy part of the year, although to me it's the harbinger of death because winter's coming and snow and freezing weather and shoveling and all, and you can't go anywhere and car goes off the road and all that kind of crap because I don't ski. If I skied, I guess I'd be really happy about snow, but I don't ski. I never thought that putting wood on the bottom of my feet on slippery surfaces was a great idea. As a matter of fact, eventually everybody who skis is going to break their leg or something like that, just like anybody who drives a motorcycle eventually will crash. Not into it. So I don't like it. So the holidays, Thanksgiving, Christmas, remind me of this horrible season that's coming up. But they're supposed to be happy. People are warm and, oh, Merry Christmas. Oh, Happy Holidays. Happy Hanukkah. Happy, oh, I feel so warm and fuzzy with you. So you're supposed to be happy. All right, let's get on the phone. Let me get the phone going here. It's at the phone, and let's see if we can raise our guest here. I am joined by Dr. Christine Carter. She's available to all media. She's been on radio, television, magazines, you name it. She's all over the place. She's even quoted, which is, I get quoted, but not in a good way, so this is good. Congratulations. The holidays are coming, as everybody knows, and they're called Happy Holidays. And Dr. Carter is going to give us some tips on how to keep the happy and happy holidays, which for many people, they kind of like lose that part of it. You have 5 ways to make your holidays happier.
Yes, I do have 5 ways to make your holidays happier.
Okay.
You know, really, I think the irony that our holidays aren't always as happy can come from having really high expectations about the season, right? You know,
yes.
we expect a lot. We expect to do a lot, to go a lot of places. We expect a lot of our relatives, and we expect to receive a lot of gifts, and to, you know, all those high expectations can really create a lot of disappointment and frustration and resentment mm-hmm. when they go unfulfilled. So
yes.
I think really the first thing and the most important thing is really to take a look at those expectations and use them as cues or opportunities to refocus on what we actually already have that we feel grateful
mm-hmm.
for. To trade those high expectations for big appreciation and consciously cultivate gratitude in those moments or situations in which we might otherwise feel like is falling short of our expectations.
You know, the holidays create so much minutia in my estimation. If everybody just chilled, then everybody could be happier. But when other people don't chill, I have trouble not chilling. I have problems with gift giving, to be correct,
yeah.
to be proper, to do a tit for tat. It annoys me that I get so involved in the politics of that.
You know, I think a lot of people have similar problems with gift giving, and so I'm advocating this year that people think about creating a giving trifecta. So this is about looking, you know, acknowledging the research that we have that shows that gift giving can actually be a really joyful experience, particularly if we are giving to people in need.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, most of the people on our list hopefully aren't people who are in need, but we can still use those gifts to give to people in need as well by purchasing our gifts through retailers that contribute a portion of the proceeds to or make a donation to causes that we really care about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, this year, everybody on my list will be getting a gift through the Amazon Smile program because Amazon Smile will donate a portion of proceeds to the Tipping Point, which is a local charity that I really believe in, and it makes me happy to be contributing to them. Moreover, here's where we get to the trifecta or the triple whammy. Miami piece of it, I will make those purchases using my Chase Freedom card, which gives me 5% cash back.
I do that too.
And I take that cash and then donate it to the Tipping Point as well. So I get a gift for everyone I need. Yeah. Amazon Smile donates to the Tipping Point, and then I get to donate to the Tipping Point. So this makes that gift giving much more meaningful, much more fulfilling.
All right. I mean, not to be selfish or anything, but just using that card, I feel better about myself because I'm getting money back. But you should give. You should give, though. You should give.
Yeah. Nonetheless. Well, I'm actually not saying that you should give your rewards back. I know that it feels good to receive that.
It does.
But I would do an experiment. See if you feel better receiving the cash back and keeping it yourself, or see if you feel better and happier when you if you donate the cash you get back yourself, because that's your cash and you're giving it away. Now, research shows us that most people believe, the vast majority of people believe, that they will be happier if they keep money, the cash themselves. But another study shows that people actually end up feeling happier when they give it away. Now, obviously, it's not the cash that comes from the Chase Freedom card, but it's just cash in general. If researchers say, I'm going to give you $5, do you think you'll be happier if you keep it or if you give it away?
Right. I mean, you know, you can always do your cash and give it away later on as a donation or something, which you really should do for tax time anyway, because it makes you feel good and it also benefits you. I like things that benefit you, and then you also make other people better off. So that's kind of win-win for me.
Yeah, hey, that's the trifecta.
Ah, there you go. That's what you said. See, you are quoted. Oh, my God. All right.
Why? Because you just quoted me?
I just quoted you. I repeated something you said, which is technically a quote, isn't it?
Yes, excellent. Thank you very much.
You're very,
very
welcome. You're welcome. Let's talk about the food preparation, because a lot of people go nuts preparing for food. They invite everybody to their house, and then they act like, oh, you're imposing on me, when you were the one that invited them, you know, and like cooking all like for 5 days ahead of time. But you don't have to go that crazy with that, do you?
No, I actually think it's really important to not bite off more than you can chew, so to speak, in the food prep department. And just in general in the holidays, thinking about, okay, what is realistic for me to be able to get done, even if this doesn't meet my high expectations? You know, once again, we're back to expectations. But yes, it might be ideal for you to cook everything yourself and have it wonderful, and for you to research the recipes and, you know, food magazines, and for it to really be gourmet. But you know what? That might just be a fantasy that you're better off acknowledging now and just getting your Thanksgiving dinner from Whole Foods, right? Or, you know, I know at this time of year, even though I love to cook and I love to plan dinner parties, it's just much more realistic for me to rely on all the many services that are out there that can be very low cost these days as well, to help me so that I'm not so exhausted, and then I can actually enjoy the people who come over as well as the food, right?
That's better. I mean, if only the people wouldn't say, oh, this is wonderful, did you make it yourself? And, you know, I would always say, yeah, I did, even though I bought it. But, you know, they don't know. Is that considered lying, or just like don't answer them?
Well, I think if you made the food happen, then
good
it's
enough.
Not really lying,
close,
right?
Close. Good enough.
Because you know, people say, "Oh, this is so fantastic! Thank you." And you can say, "Yes, I arranged for this to be here for you."
Right?
I mean, in your head, that's what you did. You made it happen.
Right? That didn't magically appear. Okay.
Right. You had to think about it, plan it, purchase it, heat it up. This is now nothing.
Hey, I love this. I love every part of what you're saying. We're just about out of time. We don't even have time to go through all the tips. So where can we go to find out more information?
My website, ChristineCarter.com, will have lots of tips for happier holidays over the whole season.
Beautiful. And you do a blog there, right?
I do.
Cool.
I do. I have lots of happiness tips and a blog that goes into depth on some of these things, all the research behind it.
Very, very cool. Dr. Christine Carter, I have quoted her. Thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for having me and for quoting me.
You are so welcome. You are very quotable. Have a good holiday. All right.
Thank you. You too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you, Ms. Carter, and everybody else that joined us. And thank you to Theraflu for sponsoring this program today. Have yourselves a wonderful, wonderful day. I wish you peace.